May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel gives us prayer 1.0. But before I start talking about what I wanted to do is share with you a post that I read Friday about a prayer that changed the direction of my sermon a little bit. This gentleman presented a whole new perspective on how to pray, or maybe it's not so new. But this is for especially if you have anxiety or find it hard to focus, which obviously I do sometimes. Perhaps you want to pray about your anxiety, but you just can't focus. So this guy said, don't fight it, follow it. He suggested following the path your mind is taking you. If your mind drifts to work, pray about work. If your mind drifts to a troubled relationship with a friend or family member, pray about that, and so on. He said, what if the very thing your mind is wandering to is just the thing the Lord wants you to pray about? Prayer does not have to be perfect. Prayer is not about a performance or a one-way conversation with God, just telling him what you need. It's about a relationship with God. It's about being present and authentic. Your distraction might even lead you toward a deeper relationship with God. Give God the whole messy you because he loves you just the way you are. As children, perhaps we were taught a familiar bedtime prayer, and I bet most of you, or not all of you, know it. I was taught the prayer by my mother and Grandma O'Donnell, and I taught my children the prayer, and I said that prayer with my grandchildren every time we had a sleepover. Precious memories. It goes, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, when I was a child, those last words kind of scared me, so I changed up the words with my children and grandchildren and said, if I should die before I wake, I said, angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. Not so scary that way. In our gospel today, Jesus is teaching the apostles how to pray and gives them the gifts of the Lord's Prayer. So we're told how to pray. Does this conflict with what I was just talking about being authentic? I don't think so. Christ is telling us that this is how God wants us to address him, to show respect, how he wants us to live out our faith in the triune God. When we say this prayer in church, it's only part of our worship. It's an important part, but it's not the sum total of our worship. When we say this, especially in church, do we think about what we're saying? Or is it so automatic we just say the words? Maybe we need to break out of our routine a little bit when we're praying the Lord's Prayer and be present and authentic. When I stopped by the church yesterday to put up a table for our memory sharing, I put it by the crocheted Lord's Prayer hanging in the narthex. I've seen it many times and honestly haven't paid that much attention to it. But yesterday I did because I intended to speak today about the Lord's Prayer. The dedication plaque names the person who crocheted this beautiful piece of fiber art along with the people to whom she was dedicating it. And as I stood there looking at it, I thought, what a labor of love. And then I thought, us too. We're God's beautiful, thoughtful labor of love. Aren't we blessed? Today's scripture from Luke is a bit different from the words we usually pray for the Lord's Prayer, but it covers the important aspects of what Christ told the disciples God wanted to hear. Or maybe it's what God hoped to receive from us in words and actions. So you might want to follow along as in your bulletin as I'm saying Luke's words and then Matthew's words. When you pray, say, Father, may your name be revered as holy. And we say from Matthew, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come. From Matthew, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Those were the more familiar words. They're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And directly following verse 13, we're reminded that the lack of forgiveness on our part has some consequences. So from Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, Christ says, Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you, but if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. If we're being present when we say the words Christ gave us, do we think about what they mean? Our Father who art in heaven. Well, it's not my Father, it's our Father. God belongs to everyone, or rather, perhaps, everyone belongs to God. God's realm is heaven, the perfect place, a place of perfect love. Hallowed be thy name. God's name is holy and sanctified. If we love God and do our best to keep his name holy, we won't use his name in vain. Being present in his holiness, we use his name only in prayer and praise. It's about respect. Thy kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom of God to take form in the here and now so that we can live in a world of faith, hope, and love instead of a world that's becoming increasingly fearful, hopeless, and full of hatred. That song, What the World Needs Now, is probably more true now than it ever has been. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. From Isaiah 30, verse 18, God reigns from heaven with compassion and justice. He wants us to praise him and love one another. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments into two, only two. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. He never said, love the neighbors you like or agree with, did he? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I actually know a woman who takes this very literally and bakes bread every day because of this prayer. So what else might daily bread be? Daily bread might refer to our daily physical and spiritual needs. We rely on God to provide for us, and this part of the prayer reminds us to trust him for our everyday necessities. God gives us the skills or the opportunities to feed our physical bodies and provide shelter, clothing, and the other things we need. God is not going to step out of a cloud and give you a new winter jacket but he gives you the skills and opportunities to get your own. Just as good food nourishes the body, the Word of God nourishes the soul. From Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what if we're supposed to be bread for others? Are we not supposed to share Jesus and his love with others? And that leads us back to that last part of today's gospel about asking and receiving and sharing to help others. If you have God in your heart and in your life, our God of love is for everyone. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is the toughest part, isn't it, of the Lord's Prayer. If we speak words of forgiveness but hold on to resentment, have we really forgiven? I'll refer you back to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. I know I have some house cleaning to do in my heart. And lead us not into temptation. God doesn't lead us to sin. We do that all on our own because of the free will the Creator gave us. And the world bombards us with temptations. This part of the Lord's Prayer is a plea for God to guide us away from situations where we might be tempted to sin. But deliver us from evil. Now, I have to share a funny little story with you. When my girls were little and would say the Lord's Prayer with me when we did our nightly prayers, Jennifer, my middle girl, used to always say, "But deliver us from Emil." And you know who Emil was? He was the only Swede in a very Lutheran church that we attended. So poor Emil got it every time Jenny prayed the Lord's Prayer. So on a more serious note, we are imperfect. Sometimes we find ourselves knee-deep in sin. And this petition asks God to lift us up when we struggle to follow Christ's examples and commands. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. We acknowledge that without God, we're nothing. We would have no kingdom. God is everything. The Lord's Prayer is a precious gift to us. And it's so much more than just a set of words that we recite automatically. It's a pathway to a deeper faith and a closer connection with God. Each line, if we listen, can speak to our hearts and draw us closer to God's purpose for us and for the world. It's a prayer that looks forward, not backward. It's rooted in the hope of God's love and justice. Lord, help us be fully present when we speak your name in prayer. Amen.